Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue to talk about the Lordship and Majesty of Jesus. Well, this week we've been talking about the reality of how God has given to us, in the words of St. Paul, first of all, Romans chapter 10, we touched on Monday, talking about how God's word, the gospel, the good news that was preached to us, it's on our lips and in our heart, that the word of God is near to us in our hearts. That's the normal Christian life, to live with the awareness and the actual experience that you're living in relationship with God and you're living an empowered life, and that day by day, one step at a time, the reality of what God has accomplished in you through the baptism in which you became a child of God, that power, that life, that having made you a temple of the living God, that Jesus fulfilling his promise that I will be with you always, the Father and I will come to you and will make our home in you, that those aren't just pious words, it's a reality. And Paul and the apostles know that, and they're speaking and teaching with great clarity that the Christian life is a new life, and that it's not just a different way, like somebody gave you insight in a motivational speech to become better at something in your life. Just try these three things and you'll get there. It's different than that. It's not just communicating a good idea or a wise idea. It's totally different. It's being brought from death to life. That is, a human being who's under the powers of sin and death. St. Paul said, live without hope in the world. He said, we're being brought from death to life. That's the central reality of Christianity. And that life, what is that life? I read yesterday from Acts chapter 5. Peter and the apostles, having been imprisoned because of they were preaching about Jesus, and the religious leaders threw him in jail after having warned them not to be preaching. He threw him in jail, and then the angel released them from jail and said, now go back, right back into the temple, and tell everyone about this life. That's a word for the whole church right now, in my opinion. I mean, it is for all time until the Lord comes again, for sure. It's not like just this unique moment. But this is a moment where the church is weak and broken and troubled and divided. And we spend a lot of time talking about our divisions. We spend a lot of time just talking simply about the church, preaching the church and the struggles and trying to battle for, you know, what is the authentic voice or the authentic way to live the faith today, that kind of thing. Well, what we're meant to do is to share with everybody the life that we've received. But in order to do that, we have to know, okay, well, what is this life? How do you get it? Who needs it? What does it mean exactly? And so the apostles knew and understood what it meant and how to bring people into it, how to bring people into this life. That was their passion. It wasn't like they were just selling a book, for example, a book of their collective ideas that they wanted everybody to read to improve their lives. It's not a self-improvement project, Christianity. It's a salvation project. It's God's action to save his people, those who bear his image, from eternal separation from him. And that is a people who are under and subject to the powers of sin and death. And he comes to break that hold and to give us a life that will go beyond this life. That when we die, that won't be the final word, but we'll have within us the seed of the life of Jesus, who swallowed up death in victory, who conquered sin and passed from death to life, and now he's a new creation. And friends, this is the greatest thing imaginable, and it's been given to us. Isn't it puzzling? And it's really worth facing, honestly, in our lives. You know, there's many things that we desire in life. There's many things that preoccupy our minds and hearts that we desire to possess, to have, to experience, and that's okay. We're human beings. We've been put on this earth, and God has given us many good things that we can pursue and experience. And there's things that we're attracted to that he hasn't given us that come from other places. And we can acquire some things and possess certain things, live certain places, reach a certain status. And we feel a sense of fulfillment, you might say, sometimes in these things. Or we have gathered around us enough achievements and possessions and recognition to feel like you're somebody and that you have something. And we hold on to these things. It's very easy to be preoccupied with those things. In the Gospel of John, I think it is, or maybe 1 John, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life also is part of it. Those kinds of things. And we're tempted to stay there and watch what glitters around us and what we've been able to accomplish or possess or to have, right? And we forget such an important truth that in these earthen vessels, the greatest thing we have is what we've been given in Christ. And it's an amazing thing to think about, living in this reality in which the greatest thing the world doesn't even recognize. It's not even a value. And we might be filled with all kinds of things that the world values. We might have a huge house full of them and multiple houses and jobs, careers, accomplishments, trophies, whatever it is. And people might look and say, wow, that guy's great. That woman is great. Look at all the medals. Look at all the achievement. Look at all the popularity. Look at all the success. And that person may have been baptized into Christ as an infant, as a child, and may not be living themselves with any real recognition of the treasure that they carry in this earthen vessel and the life that's been given. All that the Lord gives us can literally lie dormant, undiscovered, unrealized. And for many people who are in that place, Christianity does its truths and promises seem far away, and that they don't experience the power of something transformational in their lives. St. Paul said, we carry about this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? The treasure is this life, this new life that is a person. Isn't it amazing to think about how humble God is? You know, Jesus did say he's meek and humble of heart. It's the wisdom of God and the humility of God that the greatest treasure possible, everything else this world can produce, even the best that this world can produce, absolutely pales in comparison. I mean, honestly, it's just even hard to compare. It's just so much greater. It's an eternal treasure. It is the only antidote to what we most need. It's the fulfillment of our heart's deepest longing. It's a treasure and a glory and a gift and a life that's far beyond our wildest imagining, and it can lay hidden, and it can actually even be lost. We can lose it because we ignore it, we minimize it, we don't pay much attention, we're not seeking. You know, Jesus said those who hunger and thirst will have their fill. They'll have their fill of something that will last forever. Here's where we see a distinction between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. All the treasures in this world that we hotly pursue, they're all going to pass away. Some probably already have in your life. Your moment of glory may be gone in this world, right? It's all fading glory. But the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the saints who really, by God's grace, saw the treasure and said, ah, I get it. In light of what I've seen, almost like St. Thomas, that famous line he's writing, even though he's writing the Summa, the greatest theological corpus arguably ever in the church written, and he has an experience at Mass or just before Mass, I can't remember exactly how it was, where he has a vision really and a grace from the Lord, and he gets just a glimpse of the majesty and the beauty of God and his plan. And he says, oh my, everything I've written is just so much straw in light of what I've seen. And you're talking about a man who saw a lot already. And people may have thought, well, he's at the top of the mountain. He saw it all and he's telling us all. And he's saying, friends, oh my goodness, even all that I've written is like straw in light of what I've seen. He saw the treasure at a deeper level. And God promises for those who thirst, those who hunger, those who want to live engaged to the invitation, engaged and responsive, excuse me, to the invitation that Jesus calls us to, that he invites us to receive this new life. And how you get it is longing, searching, saying yes to, waiting, receiving. Those who hunger and thirst will have their fill. That's a promise. And one of the sad realities and one of the things that reveals, friends, the seriousness of life is at the end of your life and mine, what will be manifested is what did Peter Herbeck love? What did he seek? What did he desire? What was first in his life? And my life will have been lived. I will have done with my life and the powers and the graces I've been given and what I really truly valued. What is that I actually pursued and sacrificed my life for? Was it for this world only? Or was it, as Jesus said to all those who follow him, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, which means to seek first the king. Responding, seeking first the king is responding to Jesus' words in John 15. That whole beautiful section we've talked about many times this past year, John 13 through 17, the gospel. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Part of the question is, do I even want to be a branch? Do I even know I'm a branch? If you're baptized into Jesus, you're baptized into Christ, we're united to him like a branch and a vine. And there's a life that flows from him into us. And then if we live knowing that we're a branch, I said, yes, Lord, I realize by your grace that I'm attached to you, so to speak. I'm engrafted into the vine, is partly the way Paul talks about it. And that there's a life flowing from you. And if I live like a branch that is staying in you, abiding in you, thirsting for the sap that's meant to run, the sap of the kingdom to fill my heart and my life, and that's what I really want in this world above all else. At the end of your life and at the end of mine, we'll see. What does your branch look like? Is it fruitful? Is it bearing fruit? The crazy thing is, this is something we can't fake and we can't make happen. It's going to be an astounding and hopefully a glorious moment, because all Jesus will have to do is to observe our fruit, and that's what the Father will do. That's what he's the vine dresser. Did Peter Herbeck seek first the king, and did he receive the gift? And what will tell it is the fruit of my life, because it's the only way in which a yes to Jesus every day can bring about that end. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.